In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This morning, we commemorate something that happened in the evening, and that was the institution of the Eucharist. On Thursday evening, just before the Lord went to Gethsemane and prayed and awaited Judas to come and to consummate his betrayal of his Lord. And we just read a long scripture, which is kind of a composite of the different Gospels, that tells that story. All throughout this week, we've been hearing about a lot of reactions of people to Jesus. The woman who anointed him, washed his feet. Judas, who although he had been with him for 3 years and had certainly benefited from him and was close to him, ended up being annihilated by his passion to the point where he would deliver him up. We see Peter, who boasted that he would not be afraid to die, but he was, and he denied him 3 times. And we will see many other people and how they react, from the children of Israel, who first cried Hosanna, and later, some of them, perhaps many of them, cried, "We have no other king but Caesar, and his blood be on us and our children." And of course, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, some of them, who plotted to have him killed. And then those Pharisees and Sadducees that were at first afraid, such as Joseph and Nicodemus, but later on showed great courage when the Lord had expired on the cross. We see all those people, and we should learn something from them. There's a reason why these events are told in such an intimate way, and why they are told in such a way that we see human foibles, human strength. We see the good and bad of what a man is capable of. The story is not just about Jesus. Because Jesus came to the earth, became man, for our sake, to cure us of sin. Not to forgive us of sin, to cure us of sin. And so we must know something about sin in order to be cured of it. Just like when you go to a doctor, if you don't know what's anything, if you don't give him any of your symptoms at all, how can he know? He would have to guess. But you tell him what hurts, what problems you're having, and that tells him then how to investigate further. Let's look at Judas and see how we can learn from him. We've been talking about him most of the week, and that's because he's really an important figure for us to understand. Not as someone outside of ourselves, but as someone that's like us in many ways. We have to have the honesty to understand that. And we have to see where Judas erred. If you say his great error was that he delivered the Lord up, that's true. But that was the end of a compounding of errors. If he hadn't had the original sins, that is, his avariciousness, his dishonesty, then he would not have fallen to deicide. So let us see just from one of the stichera from the praises and what we can learn. Truly, the language is exalted and poetic, and it penetrates the heart. As I was sensing, I heard this stichera, and it just cut me with its beauty and with its terror. It is both horrible and wonderful to hear. Horrible because it is like a mirror, and I see myself reflecting from it. And as I told you before, one of my greatest missions as a priest is to teach you to see yourself. Teach you to see that you have evil within you, darkness within you. And that the Lord will help you with this darkness. But only if you seek out for help for this darkness. So when you hear about Judas or any of the other characters in the biblical stories, you should be able to feel a kinship with them. Not a kinship that you want to have, but that you must feel that you're also of the same human lump and have these weaknesses. And you must struggle against what weaknesses you have. One of you might have trouble with avariciousness, another one with jealousy, another with envy, another with lustful thoughts, another with laziness. All of us have different problems, but they're all fundamentally the same because they all lead us away from God and not towards Him. Judas the transgressor at the supper dipped his hand into the dish with thee, O Lord, yet sinfully he reached out his hands to receive the money. He reckoned up the value of the myrrh, and yet was not afraid to sell thee, who was above all price. That is the sentence that truly cut me. Life is about making choices. Life is about valuing things. The things we value, we desire. And we order our life in such a way to obtain them. The things we do not value, we do not desire. And we don't order our lives to obtain them. Well, if that's absolutely true, then by the way we live our lives, it must be that we don't value our Lord. Because if we valued Him above all price, if we reckoned His price to be beyond any price, then we would struggle with much more fervor and much more desire to follow Him. Judas reckoned the price of the myrrh, a very expensive ointment, which could have been sold and given to the poor. It's true. But he didn't know that he was in the presence. Or he knew, but he didn't quite understand. It was a partial understanding that he was in the presence of the one who created the myrrh and created the universe and held the key to all life. I think we have to be careful in our lives. What do you value? Judas valued something that was temporary and was dirty, and it annihilated his personality. As I've said recently, it is a mistake to think that Judas was just inherently, obviously evil, and that everything about him was evil, that he was just a bad seed from the beginning. No, he followed the Lord. There were many people that did not. And he healed people just as other people did when they were sent out two by two. No, he was not completely evil, but he was not able to divest himself of something that was evil, and that is the love of money. And that love of money led to his great downfall. It is that he valued something that was not evil, didn't have value. And he did not value something that was beyond all price. This is what we should learn from Judas. And then we should look in our lives. How much do we value the Lord? On a practical level, do we read as much scripture as we do as we watch TV in terms of time? Do we pray for our loved ones? Do we attend the services with expectation? Or is the service something that we go to occasionally, maybe for holidays, maybe come late, because we just can't seem to be on time? Well, we can be on time for work, but we can't be on time for church. Some of us. Or some of us say, say that we love God, and yet we don't pray with fervor. I would say that's all of us. Look at your life and see, the way you live your life is the things you value. Where your treasure is, there is your heart also, the Lord said. Judas' treasure was with money. And he was with the Lord. But that's not where his heart was. His heart was with money. And it was conflicted. And eventually, he lost the battle. I would think that the Gospels are laconic about how he made his decision, but that he actually agonized over it. He didn't go from one moment to the next and say, I think I'm going to make some money and deliver my Lord up for judge, to be judged and to be crucified. He didn't do that. He just felt the pull of his bad priorities. And he tried, but then he kept stealing and he kept hiding his sin. And eventually he was not able to resist it anymore. And it was no longer just stealing. Now it was delivering up God to be killed. It was murder. So, let us learn from Judas. He reckoned up the value of myrrh, and yet he was not afraid to sell thee who art above all price. And then what did he do? It says here, he stretched out his feet to be washed. Yet deceitfully he kissed the master and betrayed him to the breakers of the law. In other words, while he was harboring his sin, his thoughts, he still acted as if he was in a play. He stretched out his feet to be washed. He partook of Holy Communion. Sometimes people are confused. Yes, he did partake of the Holy Mysteries. What he did not partake of was the teaching that the Lord gave the disciples after they partook of the Holy Mysteries. This should be a serious lesson for us, by the way. The Holy Mysteries don't exist in just isolation. They are part of the Christian life. The central part. But when there is a center, there are things outside of the center that are important. And that would be the teaching of the Lord and our struggles to follow His ways, our fasting, our praying for others, our reading of the Scriptures, our attempting to order our life priorities in the proper way, our reevaluating our priorities every single day. And at the end of the day thinking, did I live according to my stated priorities or not? Let us not be like Judas. Well, we have sins. We have weaknesses. Peter had them. All the disciples had them. We can see Peter's fall very clearly in the Scriptures. But the difference between him and Judas was that Peter struggled to love the Lord in all things. He fell. But he was not addicted to some secret sin. And because he was not addicted to a secret sin, he was able to not only feel sorrow for what he did, in this way he and Judas are the same, both of them were sorry for their sins, but he had the courage, the strength of character to repent for his sins. That is, to want to make a change. Not just to run off and hang himself as Judas did, but to have something in his heart that wanted to still be with the Lord. And the Lord saw that, of course. And that's why the Lord appeared to him on the day of the resurrection. And that's why the Lord, 8 days later, restored him by the dialogue that is at the end of the Gospel of John. So we have sins and weaknesses. That's not so important. What's important is, what are your priorities? What's important to you? Always be reordering your priorities. And then God will help you. And you won't have the sin of Judas. There are many sins of Judas. The sin of Judas is when we say we love God, but we don't live like we love God. So may God help us in all things. Amen.